Good morning and welcome to West End on this beautiful spring morning. It's been a great weekend, hasn't it? Yeah, been gorgeous, gorgeous. I have a few announcements for this morning before we get started. First of all, after the 8:45 service today, there will be a starting point class in McWhirter Hall, which is right downstairs underneath the sanctuary. And a starting point is a class that is for people that may be new to West End or maybe visitors and just want to get some of the basics about what it is to be in the life of the church here. And it's just a one-week drop-in class. So feel free to head downstairs after the service for a starting point that will start at 9:45. Also, May's communion offering benefits Habitat Build this year, and we are partnering again this year with other United Methodist churches in the Nashville area to build a home for a deserving family. And our goal is to raise $30,000 to cover half the cost of the build, and our current total that we have is $11,724. We would ask you to continue to give generously so that we can raise the remaining $18,276 for this year's Habitat Build. Also today, you can purchase a West End Bedrock Belief t-shirt in Reed Hall this morning, which is right out these doors. Stop by a table to see sample shirts. And the front of the shirt says, God loves everyone unconditionally, which is one of our bedrock beliefs and has become a motto of this congregation. You can also order online through May 21st. And I'd also like to direct your attention to the insert to see more information about the concert that the Sanctuary Choir of West End will be joining St. George's Choir for, a concert of French music in the grand tradition, as it says in the bulletin. And the concert will be on May 20th, and it will be at 3 o'clock p.m. And for more details, you can indeed look in the bulletin insert. And finally, today is Mother's Day, and we want to say good morning and thank you to all mothers and mother figures. And I think we can all think of somebody in our lives who has been a blessing to us as a mother or a mother figure. So welcome on this Mother's Day. And today is also Ascension Day, where we remember the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven, and then the beginning of the work of the apostles in the young church. So let us go to God in worship and in prayer, and let us praise the God who does indeed reign over heaven and earth.
Thank you. Today is Ascension Sunday, when we celebrate Christ's return to God. But this is not a time to gaze upward. There is work to be done. Let's get to work. Even as we are faithless, God remains faithful. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess to God and to one another our sins in one voice. Creator God, in you we see awesome power. You triumph over death and bring forth new life. Yet we often fail to acknowledge this power in our lives. We see violence in the world. We see injustice in our communities. We see hunger and need among our neighbors. We see failures and faults in our lives. In these things, we feel powerless. Forgive our hesitance to call upon you. Forgive our propensity to rely upon ourselves. Forgive our reluctance to acknowledge your power. Open wide our hearts and minds to the power and the risen Lord. Amen. May God give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the power of Jesus Christ may be visible in your lives. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and empowered to serve. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love with one another. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Scott and Ashley Darling bring their daughter, Isla Wren Kathleen Darling, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Ashley and Scott, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of the world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever form they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this person now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her, that she may be a true disciple
who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you had promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever.
What name is given this child? Isla Wren Kathleen, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Isla Wren Kathleen, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may grow to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, Isla, we're going to go on a journey here out to the center of the congregation so that they can see you. Yeah, you're doing so well. This is your new family in Christ. And these people are going to surround you in God's love and grace. And they are going to help you grow in grace to be a disciple and to experience God's love in this place.
Will the congregation please stand and face Isla Wren Kathleen? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend to you Isla Wren Kathleen to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Isla Wren Kathleen, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Acts of the Apostles. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, "This," he said, "is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." The word of God for the people of God.
Well, good morning, everyone. How are you today? So we're almost there. We're almost to what? What's coming up? End of school. That's right. The end of school. It's summertime, right? We're getting close to summer. You know what I used to do when the summer came along? One of the things, I did many things, but one thing I used to do was I used to go to camp. Have any of you gone to camp before? Is anybody going to camp this summer? Yeah, yeah. Well, I did too. I used to go to church camp quite often. And I loved to go to church camp. I actually went to Cedar Crest, which is in our Tennessee conference. And when I would go to Cedar Crest, I had such a good time because I got to meet friends. I got to meet camp counselors who helped me learn all about God. And I just had a wonderful time. And it felt like I was so close to God at that moment. And then you know what would happen? What would happen at the end of the week? I'd have to go home. And I was always so sad when camp ended. In fact, I was so sad that I remember one time going home and thinking, I might go home and cry. I was so sad. It really depressed me to have to leave camp because I felt like I was so close to God and these new friends, and then I didn't know what was going to happen after I went home. But you know what? The friendships I made there and all that I learned about God there has continued to grow in my heart and in my life. And who knows, I might not be sitting here right now today if I hadn't gone to church camp. And today we heard about the apostles, the first followers of Jesus, trying to figure out what they're going to do after Jesus goes away. And they're not sure how they're going to live without being so close to him and so close to God. But you know what? They find out that God is still at work anyway. And so just like my sadness went away and I found new ways to experience God, you will find time and time again in your life, you'll think you've experienced God in one way, and then guess what? You'll experience it again in a new way and a new way. And every time you reach something that feels like an end, guess what? Something new and exciting gets to start. So I hope you have a great summer, and I hope as this time of school ends that you get to go into a fun summer and go on vacations and things like that. And I hope this is the beginning of a lot of new times in your life. Can you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we give thanks for celebratory endings and exciting beginnings. We ask that you be with these children as they look forward to summer and summer activities. We ask that they would know your grace in each and every encounter they have today, tomorrow, and well into the future. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys. So we have indeed reached a time of endings in our culture. Now, no, this is not the end of the calendar year. In fact, we're almost right in the heart of 2018. But we have reached the end of one of the other calendars that seems to shape so much of our life here in our culture and in our time, and that's the academic calendar. We are so used to the flow of the world, even those of us that aren't in school, we're used to this flow of everything sort of picking up and activities picking up and kicking off and going forward in the fall. We enter a time of busyness and activity throughout the fall and the winter and even the early spring where we work hard. But then we get to this time of year where things start to wind down just a little bit. For all of us in different ways, but things wind down and we start to head toward the summer. And of course, it wouldn't be the academic year without heading into all sorts of celebrations and graduations. And so whether you're talking about somebody that's in preschool, that's about to go to kindergarten next year for the first time, there may be some of those folks in here, or whether we're talking about people that are graduating from the uppermost levels of graduate school into some type of work, or anywhere in between there, this is a time of celebrating for many people. It is a time that is pregnant with hope. It's full of hope. I was fortunate enough to go across the street the other day to go to the Vanderbilt Divinity School graduation. I had friends and colleagues who were graduating on Friday, and so I went over, and as I watched them, I was struck by the celebration of the end of it all. But then I was also reminded that such endings are also laced with grief, sometimes with some sadness. Sadness of leaving behind this time of life where maybe we are coming a bit to know more about who we are and who we might be becoming. It's a time to leave behind certain relationships and friends that have supported us through those formative years. It's also maybe even a time to leave behind mentors that have guided people along the way. And so all of these emotions are mixed up together, and there's another one too. There's this sense of apprehension or maybe even nervousness about what the future holds. How in the world can I go forward from this place? And I'm hopeful for the future, but I don't know what's going to happen next. And so it can be scary. And you know what? This is the exact place that the scriptures leave us today. It's an in-between time, a time of transition. It's an ending, but it's also a beginning. And it's kind of mysterious. In fact, time is completely mixed up for us, both in this story and especially in the way that we get it in the church. I don't know if you've noticed, but even the fact that we're reading this story today messes with our sense of time, and I love it because this verse, I think, at the heart of it is all about time and God's time, which sometimes gets mixed up and happens in strange ways that we don't always understand. And so even here in the church, if you're a close observer, you will know, if you've been here the last few weeks, that we have already been hearing from the book of Acts, right? Last week, we were all the way to Acts 10. So we've already been hearing about how the Spirit has been moving through the new church and the young church, how God's all-embracing, all-encompassing love is pulling in new people into this new thing called the kingdom of God that folks on the margins and who had once felt excluded could not have imagined. So the question is, why have we already gone there and talked about that for 6 or 7 weeks? And now all of a sudden it's like whiplash. It's like, bam, we're back to the beginning again, right at Acts 1. Well, I like the whiplash, and I'm going to tell you why in a minute. But first, I'm going to tell you why we whiplash. If you heard in the story, we actually heard about how the disciples spent time after Jesus' resurrection and return. The author of Acts tells us that they spent 40 days. And what did it say? They spent 40 days with Jesus learning all about the things of the kingdom of God. And so a long time ago, as people were figuring out how the church should worship, it was decided that the church would actually spend 40 days from Easter Sunday until Ascension Thursday. So did you know that last Thursday was Ascension Thursday? Did everybody have an Ascension Thursday party? Yeah? No? Okay. Well, there are some churches that do actually get together and celebrate the Ascension Day. In our tradition, we typically, if we're going to talk about the Ascension, do it on the Sunday after Ascension Thursday. So basically, we've had this 40 days all the way from Easter to last Thursday that helps us remember that the disciples, these followers of Jesus, spent time learning about the kingdom of God. And then we get another 10 days before next week, which is the big celebration. It's the true party in the church. It's when we celebrate Pentecost and the arrival of the Holy Spirit that we've been talking about. And so next week we'll get there, and it's really tempting to want to go on and talk about the Spirit because it does such great things. But today we're pulled back a bit into this in-between time, this time that is an ending and a beginning. So I like that we're pulled backwards, though, for three reasons. The first thing I really like about being pulled back to this story is it reminds us something important about the Spirit that we've already been talking about and that we'll talk about again next week. And that's that the Spirit of God is always in creation and always at work. From the moment that God's Spirit moved over the dark waters, God has been at work in the world, transforming and changing life and upholding all of creation. So it's important that we remember that while in Acts and next week on Pentecost, we hear about new ways that the Spirit is moving among the people of God to help humanity understand the fullness of God's love for all of us, that Spirit has been at work all along. And so pulling us backwards a bit is kind of nice because it reminds us that God's Spirit was already there. In fact, God's Spirit has been there all along. The second reason I'm glad that we go ahead in Acts and hear about what goes on in the kingdom of God and the nature of the kingdom of God is that we actually don't have much to tell us about that in this little passage here. So if we want to imagine what it was that Jesus was actually talking to the apostles about and to these early followers of Christ and the way of Christ, we need to know sort of what that kingdom started to look like once it broke out. Because we actually only get this one little chapter that tells us anything about this time after the resurrection and before the church gets launched. And I know you've all found that Carol is an excellent preacher, but even she doesn't want to have to try to work with one sentence each week out of the first chapter of Acts to make sermon after sermon. So it's helpful to move along and hear about what it is that the Spirit is about to do. But these apostles can't fully imagine that yet. They can't fully imagine what this kingdom looks like. And that's the third thing that I like about going back here to the Ascension. Because it's at the Ascension, at this time of transition, where Jesus is going away and where a end is becoming a beginning to the ends of the earth, it's at this time that the apostles start to get a sense of what they're being asked to do, but they still want to know, is this the time? And so we get this great question, and this is what centers on time. They say, Jesus, now that you've taught us for 40 days, surely this is the time that the kingdom is going to be restored to Israel. And it's important to remember that embedded in that question, restored to the kingdom of Israel, they understood that when God's people were drawn back in new and powerful ways, that this would include many more people than had ever been imagined within the nation or the people of Israel, that they knew that this would be drawing in people from all over the world. And they wondered, is this finally the time? Because if you think about it, they've already been disappointed a few times, right? Jesus died. They thought it was over. Now Jesus is risen, back with them. They think, good, we've got our companion back. We can go forward. And now Jesus goes, I'm leaving again. And they're left to wonder, what do we do? And so they ask Jesus, is this the time? And Jesus says, it's not for you to know the time. It's not for you to know exactly how this is all going to unfold, but believe in the promise of the gift you've been given, that the Spirit will be among you, that the Spirit will allow you to live in the world in kingdom ways and in new and powerful ways. But I love this question because I think it's one that we still ask today. We still find ourselves sitting in church sometimes going, gosh, it seems like the world can't even figure out how to affirm the basic dignity of people, regardless of their gender or their race or their backgrounds or all sorts of different things about them, their marital status. And we go, how in the world can we be talking about the kingdom of God having come in Jesus and be arriving in our midst when it seems like we can't even get our act together? And really, sometimes it's even the church that can't seem to get its act together. But this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times, but that doesn't mean just wait. That means it's time to go and live boldly, because the kingdom is coming. The resurrection has affirmed that Jesus is the one to usher in this new way of being and living and loving. And so this truly is a call that is an ending to a beginning to the ends of the earth. And Jesus says, go boldly and live, knowing that the Spirit will be with you. And so then I love the image of the two mysterious people that show up at the end, and they are with the apostles there. And we had discussions in Bible study this week. Were these angels? Was this the reappearance of Elijah and Moses? My early morning group said, no, it's definitely angels. So there you go. That's their answer. It was the angels for certain. But whoever they were divine figures, and the apostles are gazing up as Jesus goes into heaven. And they say, why are you looking for Jesus up there? This person, this Christ, this God is going to come back in the same way that he is leaving you. Now I'll let you try to figure out the mechanics of that, how that works in physical and real time. I think we could ponder that forever. But I think when those two divine beings say, don't gaze up there, get your eyes back down here, they're reminding us of something simple, that the way Jesus left was Jesus saying, go and believe and trust that the Spirit of God will be with you and that the kingdom is indeed coming, that God is in your midst and in the midst of the people and working in powerful ways. And so on this Ascension Day, as I stand here beneath Jesus on the window, I always look at him up there and I think, you know, it kind of looks like the Ascension, doesn't it? He's sort of floating there in the middle of the window. And I picture this moment where the clouds were starting to cover Jesus and starting to disappear. And I love that we have the image here of Jesus making this sign with his hand. Now, I know that's symbology that I'll leave for another day. But I like to imagine just for today on Ascension Sunday that that's Jesus pointing back down here, pointing down to us and to the earth, pointing at those divine people that are saying, get your head out of the clouds a bit. Believe that the power comes from there, but believe that it's going to move among you. And so on this day, on this Ascension Day, I say, remember that the Spirit of God is indeed among you, that the kingdom of God does come through Jesus Christ and the ways of Jesus Christ. Trust in Jesus Christ, that Jesus and the God we know in Jesus and the Spirit that moves in powerful ways does indeed save us. And it saves us to be powerful witnesses in the lives of others, to witness what truly inclusive and loving and radical love means in the world around us. And so that's our charge on this in-between time, this time that is an ending and a beginning that takes us to the end of the earth, with the love and the message of the kingdom of God. Thanks be to God. And now we reach that time in our service that we have each week where we proclaim the faith that we share together, the faith that holds us together in spirit and truth and allows us to walk and live boldly into Jesus's call to kingdom living. Today we have a special affirmation of faith that is actually written by our confirmation class, and the confirmation class has an ending today too. In the late service, they are going to wrap up their work for the year and they are going to join the church. So we celebrate that beginning with them today, and that will happen at 11 o'clock. So I invite you to stand as we join our voices together. Stand as you are able, and recite this creed of the 2018 confirmation class. We believe in an all-powerful, merciful God, who is an everlasting bundle of love that is always with us. We believe Jesus is the Son of God, who protects us and gives everyone a chance for redemption. We believe the Holy Spirit connects us to the love of God through Jesus. The Holy Spirit listens to us wherever we go. We believe the church is a place to worship and to grow closer to God and the community of faith. We believe a disciple of Jesus Christ gives comfort and care to others. We believe Jesus' disciples are called to stand up for others and welcome others into the church community. We believe the Bible, the Word of God, teaches us different aspects about our lives as people of God.
Our first response to the word we have heard is to gather together as a community of prayer. And as we do that, I would invite you, if you feel led, to share your prayer concerns and joys with our congregation. You have prayer cards in the pew racks in front of you, and if you feel led to fill one of those out and place it in the offering plate as it goes by, we gather as a pastoral staff every Monday afternoon to pray for these concerns. And if you let us know on the card this is a concern you would like shared, we can also print it in the insert on Sundays in our bulletin. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of this Ascension Day, when Jesus ascended into heaven that day on the mountain 2,000 years ago, he commissioned his disciples to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. Oh God, we are your disciples today, and you have reminded us that you call us to be your witnesses, to continue the work that Jesus began in Galilee, healing the sick, tending to the brokenhearted, offering forgiveness and grace to all, speaking truth to the powerful, searching the margins for the lost, the last, and the least. Oh Lord, we know that we cannot do this kingdom work on our own. So we ask your Holy Spirit to empower us, embolden us, and sustain us. Draw us closer to you with each day. Keep us near to you in prayer, and fill us ever more deeply with your love, that love might overflow to our neighbors, our friends, our families, our community, indeed, to the ends of the earth. Use us as your church to be a means of grace in your world. We pray all of this through the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray as his disciples with one voice, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As those who have been commissioned as Christ's witnesses in the world, we undergird that witness of the church with our giving. We are empowered to give through the Holy Spirit. And so as our ushers come forward, may we today offer our tithes and our offerings.
The Lord we know in Jesus Christ and in great spirit does indeed reign in heaven, and that God's reign also extends to earth. Go living in the expectation that the Spirit of God moves powerfully in your lives, and go seeking for the ways that God will transform your lives in powerful and unexpected ways. Amen.